All right, it is good to be together today. I've enjoyed the scripture readings and the hymns, and I'm going to say something that already right off the bat could divide the church. Claren told me this morning that his goal in Hymn Sunday is to not repeat a single hymn throughout the entire year. And I looked at him and thought, no, just do the classics, the ones we love over and over again. He said, nope. We're not doing any repeats for an entire year. So I can see where he's coming from. I guess I'm glad to learn new hymns. But I have grown to love these Hymn Sundays more and more as time goes on. And let me tell you, I want to start this morning by just stating the simple fact that time flies. Does it not? A decade can flash by without a warning. 5 decades can somehow disappear on you, and all too soon people find themselves at the end. And it's really strange how time does that, okay? And you don't really recognize it until you look back and recognize how fast time has gone, right? So, for example, I want to share a picture this morning. That is one of the first pictures that Danny and I took together. I don't know if there are baby pictures of us together. We have kind of a complicated past where our parents knew each other, and my mom went to her baby shower. And anyway, our love story has all kinds of twists and turns. But this was at the end of our first summer at Camp Forest Springs counseling together. And in this picture, so this is at the end of our first year in ministry together. Now, I say ministry together because we were both counselors. We weren't together at that point in our lives. And I don't know if she looks more nervous than I do in that picture, but she liked me at that point, and I was fairly clueless to the fact. But that is skinny-faced baby Pastor Andrew and younger but still very beautiful Danny. That was in 2006. So I think if I did the math right, that's about 16 years ago. Fast forward, right? Here's a more recent picture of us just this year. So there's 16 years that passed, and there have been a lot of changes. I'm not a counselor at a kids camp anymore, but I am lead pastor here, which God has. Those years, going way back to my first year actually like in a ministry position at camp, I could see how God was teaching me things and positioning me, and I was learning lessons along each step of the way to lead till now. But position isn't the only thing that has changed. There have been lots of changes in these 16 years. But it honestly feels like yesterday when I was counseling. And so 16 years flew by in the blink of an eye. And it's strange. The Bible talks about how our life is like a breath or like a blade of grass that withers. And there's truth to that. And so we are called to number our days. We are called to consider our walk. And so today we are going to do just that. Today we come to the end of the book of Joshua, the end of Joshua's life. By the end of this chapter, Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is going to be buried. He knows his life is coming to a close, and he is not just advanced in years, but well advanced in years. And he brings the whole congregation together to share final words. I am excited to listen in today, and I kind of want to do that. I don't just want to preach words today for you to hear me, but I want us to keep in mind that we are listening in to a moment in time, right? These are the words of a real man, Joshua, who was a man of God, and these are the real words of God for a people in a specific season of life, as they've now entered the promised land and they're in a season of rest. And we're going to see the words presented to them, and we are going to take to heart how does this apply to us today. So again, our first task is to hear these words through the actual biblical story and then apply it to today. Let's pray that God will give us ears to hear and His Spirit will accomplish this in our minds. Heavenly Father, God, we do pause just to once again praise You. Your name is the name above all names, and You are the living God, the first and the last. You are the one that in Your power and wisdom spoke all things into being. And so You have the right to bless those who look to You for wisdom and bring calamity upon those who go their own way. And so, God, we want to acknowledge that we are a people who do believe, that we do look to You for wisdom and for life. And we desire that our whole lives would be dedicated to loving You and serving You as we ought, and that You would thus bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm as You have promised to do. We believe that You are faithful to do just that. So give us ears to hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we started our study back in May. So it's been 4 months, and again, it feels like the blink of an eye. It feels like just yesterday I was purchasing the books to be studying in the gospel, or in the gospel, the book of Joshua. And here we are, the last sermon. It has been awesome to see how Joshua has gone in those beginning chapters. He has gone as the sidekick of Moses, or a servant of Moses. And today, at the end of our chapter, as he is being laid to rest, he will receive the title, the servant of the Lord. And it's been his life of the obedience of faith that has given him that recognition. So we watched him in these opening chapters as he was handed the baton from Moses and commissioned to lead the people into the promised land, into all of these battles, faithfully allotting and seeing all these victories. And as he was doing this, just as I told you, I was learning lessons at each stage that God faithfully brought me into, and I was hesitant for many of those, but God said, this is what I want you to do. I have lessons for you. I have good works prepared in advance that you should walk in them, and I have faithfully and sometimes reluctantly said, okay, God, I trust You, and I want us each to recognize that in whatever season you are, from young to old, God has lessons for you to learn, and God has things for you to accomplish in the kingdom of God. And these are some of the lessons that Joshua learned. We are to go at his call, with his presence, by his word, and we kind of looked at stories all along. And I would love to, as I did kind of halfway through the year, I would love to go back and look at each one of these in depth, but we do not have time to do that today. So I will remind you that these sermons are online. If you missed any of them, go back and give them a listen, or if there's a particular one that stands out to your season of life, please go back and listen to those and let God's word speak to you. So Joshua and all Israel learned many lessons, and we too have learned these lessons as we have been in a season of transition, as we are desiring to go with God into whatever He has for us, and there continues to be transition. That I'll refer to later and will be later announced, but the idea of feed my sheep will no longer be what it has been, because the doors of the organization that we're delivering the truck, their doors have closed, and so things are changing. And there's opportunity there to take steps of faith and to remember the lessons that we learned and cry out to the Lord and say, God, what do You have for us? We want to knock on doors, and we want to go into whatever season of ministry He has next when it comes to evangelism and outreach. We want to prayerfully consider, take steps of obedience of faith where He calls us to go. So thus far, they entered the land. They made preparations and entered the land. They won the decisive battles. And I say God delivered them. God allowed them to win those battles. They gave out the allotments, and then we had three final speeches. If you remember, the first speech was Joshua to the 2.5 tribes as there was rest from war and he was sending them back to their homeland. The next speech, he called all the leaders together. And if you remember, it was a call last week, a call in Joshua 23:11 to be very careful to love the Lord your God, to not intermarry, to not let evil remain in the land, but to cast it out, to sanctify yourselves in this land that it might be holy unto the Lord. And it all stems from a call to love Yahweh, love the Lord your God. And now we turn to his final speech in chapter 24. And it's a big moment for them. It's a big moment for them, but it also is a big moment for us to learn the lesson that they learned or were called to learn so that we don't repeat any potential mistakes that they made. And to introduce this, I've been holding on to a nugget that I read at the very onset, and I was wondering, where am I going to put this? This is such a cool story. It's such a cool concept or lesson. Where am I going to put this? And it didn't fit well in any of the sermons thus far, and it fits so well in today. So just as I showed you a picture of me in the beginning of my ministry and how God used me that year and gave me lessons and all kinds of things, and then today is a lot different than then, I want to take you back to the beginning of the biblical account of Joshua's ministry, to the very first time we hear Joshua's name in Scripture. Does anybody know off the top of their head what it was? Oh, yeah, it's on the screen. Yeah. That, I thought there was another slide in between there. Sorry. Spoiler if you've been reading and not listening. Okay. Turn to Exodus chapter 17 if you have your Bible, because I there's an important lesson for us here, and it was one of the first lessons. I want to go back to the beginning of Joshua's ministry, so to speak, just as I've highlighted some of my first days in ministry. The first time we see Joshua, he is what we know him as, a military leader, right? A general. And he was learning that he was a general, not just in any army, but he was a general or a commander, a leader in the army of the Lord, right? Which is different than any other army. We find this story in Exodus 17, where Joshua, and don't start reading. I know, oh man, I'm glad you're reading your Bibles, but stay tuned with me, okay? I have a pause for dramatic effect moment, okay? So don't be reading ahead. Keep your eyes on the screen. So we see this military leader. The first time his name is mentioned is in Exodus 17, and we read this in verses 8 and 9a. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So this is in their years of wandering in the desert, right? So Moses said to Joshua. So here we see Joshua already. We didn't see him in his younger years, but we see him as he is placed in, and we don't know how long he's been in this position, but presumably this would be one of his first battles, one of his first commands. So Moses said to Joshua, Joshua, choose for us men and go fight with this Amalek who is coming against us. And if you skip a few verses later, down to Exodus 17:13, which is on the screen, we read this. And Joshua, being the awesome general that he was, the natural-born military strategist leader that he was, Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. So boom, right at the beginning, we know Joshua is a strong leader. We know that he is the one. He's already showing signs of amazing leadership that we know Joshua, eventually it's going to be handed off to Joshua, this great military leader, to go and fight these battles, right? But wait, because in between, these verses make it sound pretty obviously. Joshua's the man for a job. Joshua picks a man, go fight him. And then the end of the story is Joshua overwhelmed the enemy. Yay, Joshua. Joshua's the hero. In between these verses was one of the first lessons that Joshua learned. It's a lesson that I learned when I was a counselor, kind of overwhelmed by a group of kids that I was supposed to not only babysit for the whole week as I was a counselor, but also spiritually oversee, all things that scared me. And there were rough seasons, and yet God was teaching me lessons that I am with you. Look to me and I will guide you through these seasons. I will give you wisdom. I will be with you. So Joshua 2 was learning these lessons from the start of his ministry. Let's read the whole account together. Now you can turn in your Bibles and look down. Let's learn this lesson along with Joshua. Exodus 17, verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. So that's the rest of the story. Does this story give Joshua confidence in his military strategy and might, in his army? No, right? It must have been a roller coaster of a battle while they were figuring out what was happening, right? Can you imagine being there that day and like, "We're winning, everything's going well," as Moses is like, "Yeah, way to go, guys." And then he kind of gets a little tired of cheering. So he sits down. Oh, man, now they're losing. Oh, they're losing bad. What? Those military heroes out there just turned into a bunch of kids with swords. What's going on out there? So he would stand up and start cheering again, like, "Come on, guys." And then all of a sudden, they start winning again. And I don't know exactly how it went, but you have to understand, Moses didn't know this until he figured out when we are glorifying God with hands raised, depending on him, we see victory. He is the faithful one, not us, not our military strength or strength of will. So from the onset, Joshua overwhelmed because God was with him. And this was a lesson that God wanted Joshua to learn, and it's a lesson hopefully we, as the people of God, also can learn. That we will only see victories in our walk as we acknowledge him at every step and cry out to him. So verse 14 continues, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this story, this lesson, as a memorial in a book, the book that Joshua was told to not let depart from his mouth, to not swerve to the left or the right, this lesson and other lessons that Joshua would learn.'" Moses says, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua." So scripturally speaking, who was this battle and this lesson for? Moses says, "Joshua, I want you to learn this day that God is with you and he will fight for you and give you the victory, but always look to him." That God will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner," saying, "A hand upon the throne of God, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." This is where we see this great lesson. The Lord is our banner. He is our victory. He is the one under whom we submit and serve and love with our whole heart. Joshua's lesson is that God is faithful. He will fight for you. From the first time we see Joshua, God is teaching him this. And it's not just to Joshua, it's to Joshua and to whoever will come to him with a broken, contrite heart, ready to love, obey, and serve. So now, we have seen the first time Joshua is presented in Scripture and the lesson that he was to learn. And I think we only understand his final plea if we understand this man learned many lessons, and he, Joshua himself, is not the hero of his story. His tombstone wouldn't have been about how awesome he was, but he would have pointed heavenward and said, "The Lord my God is awesome. The Lord my God is my banner." And so let's look. The last time we see Joshua is in Joshua's final speech here in Joshua 24, and we see him not as a mighty general, one last hurrah in battle. We see him as a preacher and a prophet, calling others to choose this day. Choose this day. Today, for all of us, is an important day. Choose this day to serve the Lord your God. So again, as we read this passage, it's a powerful moment that I want us to hear the voice of Joshua and the voice of the Lord God in this moment of time as they have rest, but danger still await as they are in the land of plenty, which we'll read about in a little bit. But they had known God's faithfulness, the living God, and his heart was that people would remember who this God is, what he had done, and that they would surrender their lives wholeheartedly to the Lord. So let's dive in. Let's read Joshua chapter 24, starting in verse 1. And as we do this, I want you to notice how these are first and foremost the word of the Lord, because it starts off with, "And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel." So the beginning of his speech to the people, he's acting as a prophet. "Thus saith the Lord." And so he's going to be speaking in the first person, "I," but he's not saying, "I, Joshua, have done all this." He's saying on behalf of the Lord, "I, the Lord your God, have done this." And so let's hear the opening of this great speech. "Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem," if you remember Shechem, "and he summoned the elders and the heads of judges and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God." That's why they had come that day, to present themselves before God. "And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. But then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. And I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. And I sent Moses and Aaron. And I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it, and afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt and came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought you, but I gave them into your hand. And you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, son of Zippor, and Moab arose to fight against Israel. He sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Instead, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the leaders of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And guess what? I gave them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, in cities you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. So we get a sense of what God wants to do in this moment in time. He wants to take them back in a history of how he had been a living God, faithful to all his promises, delivering them into the rest and plenty that they now have. And if you remember, Shechem was this place where they renewed the covenant the first time when they first got into the land, and there was Mount Ebal on one side and Mount Gerizim on the other, and it was a natural amphitheater. So you can almost hear Joshua's voice booming through this amphitheater so that all can hear how the Lord their God had faithfully brought them into this land of plenty and into a place of rest. God was faithful to his promises. It's the same lesson that Joshua learned in that first battle. And it's the same one that God, through Joshua, wants to proclaim to the nation of Israel. And I want to make a note here. This divine speech starts with the idea that long ago, your fathers served other gods. And there are many other gods of this age that men and women choose to serve and live their lives by. But God called Abraham, and Abraham acted in faith and went. We each have a calling of God on our lives that we have to faithfully listen and take steps of obedience. And just like Abraham listened and the obedience of faith led him away from the gods of his fathers and into the kingdom of his God, of Yahweh, so we too have that. And there's a legacy that begins when you do that, when you choose to serve the Lord your God. And I believe that there are even generational blessings. And I want to say each person is accountable for his or her own decisions. And yet, I believe that I am where I am today because my mother listened to a call, because her father was an alcoholic, and she could have just as easily served other gods of this world and gone a different direction in her life. But she listened to the call of God, and the legacy that has begun because she turned to the Lord her God and decided, I will serve the Lord my God. That legacy is a lot different and has a lasting effect. I can't get into the dynamics of all of that, and yet I think Scripture teaches your decisions have lasting effect on your family and the family after your family. God calls you to make choices, no matter where you are in life, to choose this day whom you will serve, and what that means for the way you organize the rest of your life, okay? So I just want to say that I am living proof of someone who heard the call of the Lord, and there were even generational blessings afterward. So now, with that all in mind, how God says, I have done this for you. I have delivered you to this point. Now we get to the heart, I think the heart of this last chapter in verses 14 and 15. And this verse is one of the most famous verses in Joshua. And so I want to hear it in its context, right? This is Joshua in his dying days, after a lifetime of seeing God be faithful to a nation full of rest, in a position of rest, with temptations to intermarry and get relaxed and serve other gods possibly. This is what Joshua, he has finished his thus saith the Lord. And he presents something in these next two verses where he says, now that we've heard from the Lord our God and all that he has done for us, let's hear Joshua in verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then I want you to not dilly-dally or be lukewarm. Listen to this. If it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day to go to the left or to the right. Choose this day to either listen to the voice of the Lord or go a different direction. Choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the Jordan, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And then I just want to hear Joshua's words as he proclaims this at Shechem. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Again, it's a moment that almost gives chills, right? It's one of those behold moments, and I think behold should have been in there, but I'm not going to change scripture. But you can feel the echo of this as the people were faced with this great decision, this great turning moment. There are days of rest and plenty, but remember that the Lord your God has brought you here. And so serve him with sincerity of heart and faithfulness. Love him with all your strength. Organize your life. And I think men especially hear these words that to say, I serve the Lord means that you're going to organize your family in a way that as for me and my house that I am watching over, I want to make careful decisions to love the Lord my God in all the ways that I organize my household and my life. Let's hear this from Joshua and from the Lord. As for me and my house, I will choose this day and every day to serve the Lord my God. I want to hear a similar plea today. That word is translated worship in some places instead of serve. Worship the Lord your God. And this can seem a little funny, but I've had some conversations over the last weeks with some people, and I've heard some people say this, oh yeah, I believe in God. And that can be a dangerous statement. Because I personally don't just want people to believe in God, and that's a weird thing for a pastor to say, but I don't want people to just believe in God. I think it's a pithy statement that can mean many different things, right? To believe in God, because we see in Scripture, and some of you have mentioned this verse before, but even the demons believe and shudder. What does that mean to believe in God? And I don't just want people to know the gospel as something that they can kind of put in their mind and go, oh yeah, Jesus died on the cross for my sin, I'm good. I believed it, I accepted, I was confirmed, whatever that is in your life. I do want people to know the gospel, but I don't just want people to know the gospel. I think God wants us to call ourselves, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the world to the standard we see here set by Joshua. Choose this day to serve the Lord your God, to worship him, which is going to be evident in every area of your life, every day. This is my desire for us today, to know this same personal God and our track record, what he has done for us, and to know that his banner is still a banner of victory for those who come to him. There is victory in Jesus. And today is a call to be in the Bible, to be reading and learning about this God, to be growing in our faith, to be in prayer as we desire to hear from the Lord our God and the direction we need to go with our church, with our family, and with our own personal lives. So now we turn to Israel's response. We have heard from the Lord God and how God has faithfully brought them to this place. And then we heard Joshua's plea. Choose this day whom you will serve. For me, I choose to serve the Lord. Let's hear the response of all Israel. So to this, we turn to verse 16. Then the people answered, "Far be it for us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." And that is sweet music to my ears, right? They heard it. They said, yes, we acknowledge the Lord did those things. It's not that we ourselves positioned ourselves here, but the Lord our God was faithful to his promises, and by his might, we are here. All along, it has been a gift of grace that we are here. And so we too will serve the Lord, for we choose he is our God and he alone. And so as I read that, I respond with this, amen, hallelujah, praise God. When a people gather together and declare this, we will serve the Lord. He is our God. That's why I love the, he is our God and we are his people. That phrase, I love that phrase, reaffirming that identity statement. Yet, we're going to see something interesting in this next. Joshua challenges them. Because lip service is easy. And Joshua wanted to give a little pushback. And so he does. In verse 19, we read this. Joshua said to the people, "You're not able to serve the Lord. For he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." Which is just an interesting thing to do after a group of people confirms, "We want to serve the Lord." He turns around and says, "You're not able to." What's going on there? He wanted them to recognize the same truth that we need to recognize today, that them in and of themselves, their hearts are prone to wander. Their minds were prone to get lured away by marrying beautiful women from other nations and serving their gods, by intermixing other religions and becoming like those around them. And he says, you in and of yourselves, you will wander. It's easy enough to say today, I will serve the Lord, but he wanted them to recognize your hearts are prone to wander. Commit this day, be very careful and diligent to serve the Lord your God. And giving insight into this pushback isn't just he's an old ornery guy, but at the very beginning of his ministry, he heard something from the Lord that gives context to this and this whole passage back in Deuteronomy 31. In Deuteronomy 31, we read this. "Now therefore, write this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the people of Israel. For when I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to give to their fathers, and they have eaten and are full and grown fat, they will turn to other gods and serve them, and despise me and break my covenant. And when many evils and troubles have come upon them, this song shall confront them as a witness. For it will live unforgotten in the mouths of their offspring. For I know what they are inclined to do even today, before I have brought them into the land that I swore to give them. So Moses wrote the song the same day, taught it to the people of Israel, and the Lord commissioned Joshua to be strong and courageous. Did you hear what God said? I know what they are inclined to do even today. And I want us to acknowledge what apart from the work of God in our lives, what we are inclined to do. We're inclined to see by the wisdom of this world rather than the wisdom that comes down from above. So Joshua knew what was coming. He wanted to give earnest pushback that the people would be wise and count the cost of this decision, that they would honestly commit in their hearts to serve him all their days. So let's read on as they affirm, as Joshua gives the pushback, they affirm that they do want to serve the Lord. So Joshua kind of, it's affirmed and there's a renewed covenant. So and the people said to Joshua, no. Meaning, you're wrong. We are able. We want to. We will commit to this. We will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen this day the Lord to serve him. And they said, yes, we are witnesses. He said, then put away, be diligent, be careful, be steadfast to put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice alone we will obey. So Joshua made the covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up under terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against you, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he has spoke to us. Therefore it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with the Lord your God. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. And that's the last words of Joshua. You can hear his voice, his earnest plea. Put away the evil things, drive out the evil from among you, and incline your heart to the Lord. After this, we see three burials. Joshua's burial in verse 19. After these things, the son of Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And then we read this in verse 31. Israel did serve the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all that the Lord did for Israel. But we know the book of Judges, and it's a dark book, and we know that the hearts are inclined to evil. And so for us today, I want us to hear the same plea. God is faithful. Hear the voice of the Lord. Choose this day who you will serve. And just like Joshua did and what God said to the people, I want us to know who this God is. The book of Exodus gives us a glimpse of who this God is. He reveals his name to us, his personal name, in Exodus 34. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed this, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, a God slow to anger, a God abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of fathers on their children and children's children to the third and fourth generation. I want us to know this God that blesses those who choose to serve, who surrender to him, because he is a God of love, a God who is quick to forgive no matter what your story is. Today is a day where you can surrender to the Lord your God and organize your life in a way that serves him and worships him. And just how Israel had a salvation history, so to speak, as they were brought into the promised land, we too have a salvation history that needs to be ringing in our ears as we remember both who God is and what he's done for us today. And to that, I turn to one of my favorite passages, Ephesians. And I'm going to attempt to do this, although I didn't write it down. But instead of you, I want to kind of translate this into a message from God. So Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, meaning your heart was inclined away from God, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God declares, I am rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which I have loved you, even when you were dead in your trespasses, I have made you alive together with Christ. By grace, I have saved you. And I have raised you up with Christ. And I have seated you in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages I might show the immeasurable riches of my grace in kindness toward you in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is my gift to you. It's not a result of your works, so that you may not boast, but you are my workmanship. I have created you in Christ Jesus for good works, which I prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. I believe this with all my heart, that God has saved me. And I choose this day to continue to surrender my life to him, in my family, in this church, in every step that God calls me to do. I want to faithfully obey, looking to him, learning the lessons that he teaches me. And when I fail and fall short, and I do, giving my life to him and receiving the forgiveness that he has given us. All of us have a life ahead of us. Today's message is that you would choose this day to serve him with the remainder of your life, and it would be the best decision of your life. Joshua is a testament to it. You're called to look around at other believers and consider their way of life, because we each have a story of God's faithfulness and goodness. We have already talked about this, but I am so glad that we are blessed to have a helper in the new covenant time. The Spirit of the living God abides in us as we are new creations in Christ. That is my only hope, as I know my efforts fall short. My own wisdom leads me down miserable paths, but God, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So let us be a people who acknowledge him, who learn the lessons that he calls us to learn, that grow up in our faith, that work out our own salvation as we serve him and love him and trust him. Let us be a people who hold fast to his word, not letting it depart our lips. Let us be a people who remember all that the Lord God has done for us. Let us be a people who listen for his call and walk in the obedience of faith as we follow him. Let us be a people who have joy as we see his power at work in us. Let us be a people who celebrate redemption with shouts of joy and who battle sin seriously. Let us be a people who are constant in prayer, always asking God to lead us and to show up. Let us be a people who continue to trust, who don't lean on our own understanding. Let us be a people who serve the Lord our God all our days, and who teach these things faithfully to the next generation. For his glory and his name's sake. And I close with the same verses that we opened with. We are called to make a joyful noise to the Lord, to serve him with gladness, to come into his presence with singing, and to know that the Lord, he is the living God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you've given us. I thank you for these words that rang through Shechem so many years ago. And it's the same lesson that we need to learn today, that you are faithful. And you have our best interest in mind as you are calling us to life, life eternal. And you are faithful to complete the work that you began in us as you guide us by your Spirit. And now, God, we do as they did that day. We recommit ourselves today to be a people who listen to your voice, who follow your call, who are faithful to know your word, to walk in the obedience of faith together, wherever you lead us, God. We thank you and praise you that you are with us always, even to the end of the age. And we look now to you in this season of ministry, that you would guide us, that your name would go forth and be glorified, and that by your Spirit we would serve you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.